गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे कृष्ण बलराम कृष्ण बलराम कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे जय गौरनिताय 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 जय गौरनिताय जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद नितय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नितय गौर हरि बोल
परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य स्तोत्र डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंद All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 2 चैप्टर 9 आंसर्स बाय साइटिंग द लॉर्ड्स वर्जन टेक्स्ट 36
एतावत् एव जिज्ञास्यं तत्व जिज्ञासुना आत्मनः अन्वय व्यतिरेकाभ्यां यत् स्यात् सर्वत्र सर्वदा एतावत् एव जिज्ञास्यम् तत्त्वजिज्ञासुनात्मनः अन्वयाव्यतिरेकाभ्याम् यत् स्यात् सर्वत्र सर्वदा एतावत् एव जिज्ञास्यम् तत्त्वजिज्ञासुनात्मनः अन्वयव्यतिरेकाभ्याम् यत्स्यात् सर्वत्र सर्वदा एतावत् एव जिज्ञास्यम् तत्त्वजिज्ञासुनात्मनः अन्वयव्यतिरेकाभ्याम् यत्स्यात् सर्वत्र सर्वदा एतावदेव जिज्ञास्यम् आत्मनः अन्वयव्यतिरेकाभ्याम् यत्स्यात् सर्वत्र सर्वदा एतावदेव जिज्ञास्यम् तत्त्वजिज्ञासुनात्मनः अन्वयव्यतिरेकाभ्याम् यत्स्यात् सर्वत्र सर्वदा एतावत् एव जिज्ञास्यम् तत्त्वजिज्ञासुनात्मनः अन्वयव्यतिरेकाभ्याम् सर्वत्र सर्वदा एतावदेव जिज्ञास्यम् तत्त्वजिज्ञासुनात्मनः अन्वयव्यतिरेकाभ्याम् यत्स्यात् सर्वत्र सर्वदा
माताजी श्रीमन्
एतावदेव जिज्ञास्यम् तत्त्वजिज्ञासुनात्मनः अन्वयव्यतिरेकाभ्याम् यत्स्यात् सर्वत्र सर्वदा
एतावत् अप् टु दिस् एव certainly jigyasyam is to be inquired tatva the absolute truth jigyasuna by the student atmanah of the self anvaya directly vyatirekabhyam indirectly Yat, whatever, Syat, it may be, Sarvatra, in all space and time, Sarvada, in all circumstances. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, most certainly must search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. We are now on the sixth part of the purport, because it's a very long purport, so I will read the relevant section of the purport. Therefore, there is no need to seek properly qualified candidates for discharging devotional service to the Lord. Let them be either well behaved or ill trained. Let them be either learned or fools. Let them be either grossly attached or in the renounced order of life. Let them be liberated souls or desirous of salvation. Let them be inexpert in the discharge of devotional service or expert in the same. All of them can be elevated to the supreme position by discharging devotional service under the proper guidance. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 30 and 32, as follows.
Apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadhure vasamantavyah samyak vyavasito hisah mam hi parthavyapashritya yepi syupapayo nayah striyo vaishyastata shudras tepi yanti paramgatim.
Even if a person is fully addicted to all sorts of sinful acts, if he happens to be engaged in the loving, transcendental service of the Lord, under proper guidance, he is to be considered the most perfect holy man without a doubt. And thus, any person whatsoever and whosoever he or she may be, even the fallen woman, the less intelligent laborer, the dull mercantile man, or even a man lower than all these, can attain the highest perfection of life by going back home, back to Godhead, provided he or she takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in all earnestness. This sincere earnestness is the only qualification that can lead one to the highest perfectional stage of life. And unless and until such real earnestness is aroused, there is a difference between cleanliness or uncleanliness, learning or non-learning in the material estimation. Fire is always fire. And thus, if someone touches the fire, knowingly or unknowingly, the fire will act in its own way without discrimination. The principle is Harir Harati Papani Dushta Chittai Rapi Smritaha. The all-powerful Lord can purify the devotee of all sinful reactions. Just as the sun can sterilize all sorts of infections by its powerful rays. Attraction for material enjoyment cannot act upon a pure devotee of the Lord. There are hundreds and thousands of aphorisms in the revealed scriptures. Atma Ramascha Munayaha. Even the self-realized souls are also attracted by the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayanaha. Simply by hearing and chanting, one becomes a great devotee of Lord Vasudev. Na chalati bhagavat padaravindal lava nimishardham api sa vaishnavarkyaha. A person who does not move from the lotus feet of the Lord, even for a moment or a second, is to be considered the greatest of all Vaishnavas. Bhagavat Parshadatam Prapte Matsevaya Pratitam Te. The pure devotees are convinced of attaining the association of the personality of Godhead, and thus they are always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, in all continents, in all planets, in all universes, devotional service to the Lord or Bhakti Yoga is current. That is a statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam and allied scriptures. Everywhere means in every part of the creation of the Lord. The Lord can be served by all the senses or even simply by the mind. The South Indian Brahmana who served the Lord simply on the strength of his mind also factually realized the Lord. Success is guaranteed for a devotee who fully engages any one of his senses in the mode of devotional service. The Lord can be served by any ingredient, even the most common commodity, a flower, a leaf, a fruit, or a little water, which are available in any part of the universe and without cost. And thus the Lord is served universally by all living and by the universal entities. He can be served simply by hearing. He can be served simply by chanting or reading about his activities. He can be served simply by adoring him and accepting him. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tatati Svapatantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamascha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sagadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamascha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurutvashe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So in this purport we are seeing a continuing explanation of the two words, the last two words of this verse, sarvatra sarvada. As we know, this verse etavad eva is the last of the chatushloki bhagavatam, the four summary verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, starting from aham eva samevakre. And now Srila Prabhupada is discussing in his purport explanations given by the various acharyas. Sometimes he mentions the acharyas and sometimes he doesn't. But this is a very, very scholarly purport with quotations from so many different scriptures and acharyas. And especially he has been in the last section of the purport talking about sarvatra sarvada. And he emphasizes that this means that devotional service to the Lord can be performed anywhere, at all times, and in all circumstances, on different planets and so on. And then he has gone on to establish with so many quotations from the scriptures that anyone in any stage of life, even the worms and the birds and the beasts, can also discharge devotional service to the Lord and attain perfection. And in the current section of the purport, Srila Prabhupada's emphasis is on this one point, that anyone at any situation or stage in life can attain to the highest perfection, to attain to the supreme position of devotional service. We have a chart here which I have made, which I hope everybody can read. But just to illustrate the point that bhakti yoga can help us to reach to the highest destination. That anyone in any stage of life can attain to the topmost platform. For those of you who cannot see the chart, I will just mention that in this chart there are four levels that have been made. The lowest level, level 1, we will call the level of those who are most fallen, or most sinful. The second level, which is a little higher than that, level 2, is for those who are in the mode of goodness. Third, a little higher than the second level, is for those who are in the mode of goodness, or I beg your pardon, those who are in the platform of liberation, mukti. And the highest level, level number 4, is the stage where one has achieved pure love of God. Now, most spiritual processes, even the chanting of the various Vedic mantras like the Gayatri mantra, etc., have a prerequisite. That prerequisite is that one should be situated in the mode of goodness, in Sattva-guna. Only then can one perform all these austerities and chant all these mantras. Mode of goodness means that one should be a Brahmana. Without being on that platform, one is not authorized to chant mantras like the Gayatri mantra and perform certain kinds of austerities. And even if one chants mantras like the Gayatri and does other purificatory activities for progress in spiritual life, one can at the most reach from level 2, one can go up to level 3, the point of liberation. In other words, much of spiritual life that is available to people generally and which people try to follow, whatever path of yoga you may take, karma yoga, jnana yoga, karma kanda, or so many other things, one can at the most reach up to the platform of liberation. And in most cases, the starting point is the mode of goodness. In other words, those who are not in the mode of goodness, those who are fallen, those who are sinful, have no access to progress because of this requirement that one should necessarily be first of all in the mode of goodness. And then, even if one is in the mode of goodness and one is following all these other paths, one cannot attain to the highest destination, which is pure love of God, Krishna Prem. One can only reach to the platform of liberation or mukti. So of these 4 levels, 1, 2, 3 and 4, most spiritual processes will only take us from platform 2 to platform 3. But bhakti yoga is so wonderful, so easy, so sublime, that it can take someone not only from platform 3 to platform 4, that is from liberation to pure love. It can not only take someone in the mode of goodness, that is platform 2 to platform 4, but it can also take the most fallen, sinful person, that is the lowest platform, platform number 4, up to the highest platform, that is pure love of God. And we can see so many instances of this in the scriptures. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read of Mrigari, the sinful, cruel hunter, who was delivered by the grace of Narad Muni, and he became a pure devotee of the Lord. So he moved from platform 1, the most fallen or sinful, right up to pure love of God, platform 4. Similarly, we have so many instances of sages and brahmanas. Say for example, the Maharashtrian brahmana who was associating with Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and so many others, who being in the mode of goodness, by association with the Lord or the pure devotees, they moved up from platform 2, that is the mode of goodness, up to platform 4, that is pure love of God. Similarly, we have examples in the scriptures of great personalities like Shukadev Goswami, the 4 Kumaras, etc., who were already on the liberated platform, but by coming in contact with devotional service, they also reached the highest platform of pure love of God. So in this way we understand that the process of bhakti yoga is complete, perfect and independent. And it can enable people to rise to the highest platform from any situation in life that they may be situated in, whether that situation is low or high. So in this way, the emphasis in the purport today is on this point. Srila Prabhupada continues the purport by saying that not only for those who are in the lower levels, but even for one who may be situated in devotional service, who may be actually a sadhaka, practicing devotional service, even that person, that devotee, may sometimes fall down, may sometimes engage in sinful activities. But still, there is no loss for such a person. There is no fault. That person can always revive his or her spiritual life and continue on and attain ultimate success. In the Madhurya Kadambini, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very nice explanation of how a devotee is secure and that he is beyond censure even if he or she sometimes falls down. He compares it to the other paths like Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. And he says that to achieve success in Karma Yoga, it is necessary that one must be perfect in terms of time, place and circumstance. Similarly for Jnana Yoga, it is imperative that one must have, by the proper process, purified one's internal senses. Now if these conditions are not met for the Karma Yogi and the Jnana Yogi, even a slight deviation from this standard will neutralize whatever success has been achieved so far by the practitioner, by the sadhaka. And in fact, if such a person falls down, then he may become condemned. He may become ostracized by his superiors and by the society at large. As far as the Jnana Yogi is concerned, there is mention in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that if a person having taken to a life of renunciation and the practice of Jnana Yoga in all seriousness, if he returns to the path of sense gratification, if he falls down from his position, then he is like a vantasi, or one who eats his own vomit. It's an abominable position, a position that is condemned. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that in history we have seen many examples of very powerful and great Jnana Yogis. And surprisingly, he gives the example for people in this category as Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, etc. And he says they were all very learned, but because of their moral aberrations, because they didn't behave in a proper way according to the codes of morality, they are condemned in history. In other words, if one follows any other path apart from Bhakti Yoga, the standards are so strict, and if somehow or the other there is some slight discrepancy or slight deviation from that high standard, then everything is spoilt. There is no consideration of whatever one has achieved till now, and one becomes condemned. But with Bhakti Yoga, it is not so. In Bhakti Yoga, one has access to the highest perfection simply by continuing on. One may, while discharging devotional service, become victimized by greed, anger, lust and so on. But then that does not disqualify the practitioner from further continuing the process. It does not make the practitioner ineligible for attaining success in the path of devotional service. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in that section which is called Uddhava Gita, where Lord Krishna instructs his dear devotee and cousin and friend Uddhava. He explains,
Bhadhyamanopi madbhakto vishayai rajitendriyaha prayah pragalbhaya bhaktya vishayai nadibhuyate.
Krishna tells Uddhava that if somebody is my devotee, mat bhaktaha, but somehow or other, bhadhyamanaha api vishayai. Bhadhyamanaha means that he becomes somehow under the clutches of vishayai, or the sense objects, because he is a jitendriyaha. Because he has not conquered his senses, still there is no loss. Why? Because pragalbhaya bhaktya. If his devotion to Lord Krishna, if his devotion to me is very strong, Krishna says, vishaye na abhibhuyate. He does not become defeated by sense gratification. In other words, he does not fall down again into the material whirlpool. This is such a reassuring statement by Lord Krishna. You see, because of our past bad habits, because of immaturity, and because of powerful connection to the material energy, somehow or other, a devotee may fall victim to sense objects and may fall down. But he or she will not be defeated, Krishna assures, that he will emerge victorious eventually and attain all success, provided that person's devotion to the Lord is very staunch, is very strong and effective. So if the devotee doesn't get discouraged despite being harassed by the senses and the sense objects, if he simply goes on cultivating his devotion to the Lord, then eventually he or she will emerge victorious. Lord Krishna continues by saying, the devotional service to me is so powerful that it burns to ashes all the sins that a devotee may perform. Of course, a devotee, a genuine devotee, never knowingly, willingly performs sinful activity. But somehow or other, because of some immaturity, because of some extraordinary situation, he falls under the clutches of Maya and performs some sinful activity, then immediately that fire of devotional service will reduce to ashes that sinful activity. If an insignificant piece of wood is put into a blazing fire, it turns to ashes in no time. Similarly, a devotee who is very strong in his devotion to the Lord is secured from accidental situations like this. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example of a warrior who is in the battle. Now the warrior will face so many weapons that are fired upon him. There will be arrows and missiles of various sorts. But in spite of being injured, if the warrior, out of courage and strength, continues fighting, then eventually he becomes victorious. Or another example that he gives is that if a patient is suffering from a particular disease, but instead of succumbing to the disease and giving way to despair, he takes the proper medicine and the diet and all the other precautions that are required for cure, he eventually becomes cured. In the same way, even though a devotee of the Lord may sometimes become infected by the lower modes of nature, he may come under the clutches of the sense objects which are very, very powerful in this world, but nevertheless, on the strength of his devotion for the Lord, he will continue on rendering devotional service, and this will not affect his future prospects of success in this world. Srila Narad Muni explains to Srila Vyasadeva in the Srimad Bhagavatam a similar point. He says,
Tyatva Swadharmam Charanambujam Hare Bhajan Apapotha Patetato Yadi Yatra Kvama Bhatram Abhudamushyakim Kovartha Aptum Abhajatam Swadharmataha.
Narad Muni explains to Srila Vyasadeva that if someone gives up his occupational duties, tyaktva swadharmam, for the sake of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, charanambujam hare, then even though this person may out of immaturity fall down, still there is no loss for him. Bhajan apakvaha, because his bhajan is apakva, is not fully cooked, is not fully ripe, is still immature. Patet tataha yadi, because of immature devotion, if somehow that devotee falls down, yatra kvava abhadra amushyakim, what inauspiciousness, what damage is there to that devotee? There is no loss. On the other hand, kaha va arthaha, what benefit is there for one who is a bhajatan, who is not engaged in devotional service, even though he may be performing his occupational duties very properly? Because he is not a devotee of Lord Hari, therefore his performance of occupational duties will come to naught. Whereas, a person who has taken shelter of Lord Hari in all sincerity, even somehow if he falls down, there is no loss for that person. So, in pursuance of this theme, Srila Prabhupada is now quoting the famous verse from the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 30. Apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananyabhav sadhu eva samantavyah samyak yavasito isaha. Lord Krishna says that even if someone becomes a sudurachari, one who engages in very, very horrible activities, still everything is not lost if he is my devotee. Achar means behavior. Durachar means bad behavior. Sudurachar means very bad behavior. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that what examples of very bad behavior can we include in this sudurachari? He says, like killing someone, or being attached to women, or being attached to other people's wealth. So if a devotee somehow becomes engaged in such activities, api che suduracharo, but bhajate mam ananya bhag, if he is engaged in my undeviated service, ananya bhag means without deviation, then sadhu evah samantavyah, he should be considered a sadhu, a very holy person. Samyak vyavasito isaha, because he is situated properly. The proper situation is devotional service. If he doesn't change from that position, then he is to be considered holy. One should not think him to be worthy of criticism. Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita purport to this verse quotes a verse from the Narasimha Purana saying that if a devotee of the Lord somehow or other engages in some abominable activity, But because he is firmly fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord, so his sins are not to be considered defects, inasmuch as the rabbit-like dark spots on the moon do not in any way diminish the dispersion of illumination that comes from the moon. The moon is not to be condemned or criticized because of some dark spots on it. The moon is still very effective in disseminating light, cooling light for the welfare of everyone. Similarly, a devotee is not to be condemned. And in fact, Krishna says, mantavyaha, that he must be considered a holy person or a sadhu. And Srila Prabhupada explains from the commentaries of the acharyas that if one thinks that, oh, he has performed a sinful activity, therefore we should condemn him, then Prabhupada says this will be an offense to Krishna. That means one is directly disobeying the orders of Krishna, because Krishna is saying that we must consider this person holy as a sadhu. Simply because he has performed some sinful activity, that does not mean that he is not a sadhu anymore. At the same time, there are some words of caution. Srila Prabhupada says that one should not take wrong advantage of this verse to perform all kinds of nonsense and then still claim that one is a devotee. This is the important point. This verse, Apichet Sudhuracharo, specifically refers not to premeditated, coolly planned fall downs, but it refers to accidental fall downs that take place because of the powerful forces of Maya around. When even unknowingly, all of a sudden a devotee succumbs to the power of the illusory energy and he still remains fixed in devotional service, then this verse applies. It is very offensive to think that I can perform sinful activity, but because I'm still a devotee, I should consider myself a sadhu or a holy person. That is offensive. It is even more offensive to take advantage of the path of devotional service to nullify the sins that one will thus perform. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives another added point of caution to distinguish the genuine sadhu from one who tries to simply take advantage of this verse. And he says that if a person is genuinely a sadhu and somehow or other has accidentally fallen down into committing some sinful activities, then he should be very, very remorseful, very ashamed. He should condemn himself in all sincerity. And alas, alas, I am such a fallen person that I have committed such an abominable activity. I am a disgrace to the society of devotees. How shall I atone for this mistake of bringing disrepute to the society of devotees? And in this way, by constantly condemning himself and burning in the fire of remorse and repentance, then he easily overcomes whatever fault there may be in his fall down. And then Krishna says in the next verse of the Gita, Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigacchati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktah pranashyati. Then know it for certain, my dear Arjuna, that very quickly he will attain lasting peace. He will become a dharmatma, a very righteous person. Declare it boldly, O Arjuna, that my devotee will never perish. So devotional service is indestructible. And if a devotee simply continues remaining fixed in his or her resolve, then he or she will be protected always. The Lord from within will excuse such a sincere devotee and will purify that devotee very quickly, kshipram bhavati, and restore that devotee once again to his sublime position in transcendence. In this connection, I would like to narrate a wonderful story from one of the Alvars. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a mention of certain great saints who appeared in Dravid Desh in South India towards the end of Dwapar Yuga and the beginning of Kali Yuga. They were born, all of them, on the banks of various holy rivers. And they were responsible for a great resurgence in the path of bhakti at that point in time in history. And it is explained by our Gaudiya Acharyas, the Vaishnava Acharyas, that these saintly persons refer to the 12 Alvars. Alvar means one who is intoxicated or immersed in love of God. So these Alvars are very famous personalities in South India. They are the forerunners of the Sri Sampradaya. They are the great inspiration behind all the great acharyas of the Sri Sampradaya. So they are very, very highly regarded in the Sri Sampradaya. Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas also sometimes quote from the works of these acharyas, these saints. Like for example, King Kulashekhar was one of these Alvars. And he had this famous book, Mukundamala Stotra, which Srila Prabhupada actually translated, and he also commented upon it. He quoted verses from Mukundamala Stotra very often. There was also another lady devotee amongst these 12 Alvars called Andal. So there are many, many wonderful stories in connection to each of these Alvars. So I would like to narrate one story that is relevant for today's discussion. That relates to one Alvar called Tondari Podi Alvar. His name was Vipra Narayan. He was a very, very great devotee of Lord Ranganath. He used to live in the place called Sri Rangam in South India, where resides the worshipable deity of Lord Ramachandra from Ayodhya times. Even his ancestors worshipped that deity called Ranganath, a deity of Lord Vishnu. He is a very, very gorgeous deity, very tall, but in a reclining position. And he faces the southern direction. Normally the deities face the east. But there are very few famous deities like Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan and Lord Ranganath in South India who face the south instead of the east. So, this devotee, Vipra Narayan, he was a Brahmin, born in a Brahmin family, Brahmin by birth and Brahmin by activities. And he would tend a flower garden very close to the temple. And it was his service to the Lord to offer the flowers and the tulsi for the worship of the Lord. He would make garlands and so on. Many of the Alvars were engaged in this service. So tending to flowers and flower gardens is a very important anga or a limb of devotional service. So he would very dutifully, in all earnestness and concentration, do his daily service. Now it so happened that there was one dancing girl who was a favorite of the local king. She was extremely beautiful. And no one practically could resist her charms. Her name was Devadevi. One time she happened to be passing by the garden where Vipra Narayan was working. And in order to take shelter from the scorching sun, she entered the garden and sat under one of the trees in that garden, along with her friend or her sister. And as they were sitting there, they saw Vipra Narayan very busy, engaged in his service. And although he was going here and there, he never even once looked at this beautiful lady, Devadevi. Devadevi's vanity became pricked by Vipra Narayan's indifference to her beauty. He was so absorbed, he didn't even seem to look at those ladies. So then Devadevi told her companion that, "What is this? Everyone succumbs to my charms, but this person here, he doesn't even look at me. So her sister replied, this is no ordinary soul. This is the great Brahmana Vipra Narayana. He's a great devotee of Lord Ranganath. And he's so absorbed in pure love of God and his service to the Lord that he doesn't care for your beauty. So your beauty may charm kings and princes and all the ordinary people of this world, but your beauty will not captivate Vipra Narayana. So then Devadevi took up the challenge. She said, yes, let us have a wager. I will somehow or other captivate this Vipra Narayana and bring him under my control. And if I do so, then you should become my maid servant for 6 months. And if I fail to do so, then I will become your maid servant for 6 months. So the two ladies entered into a wager and they agreed. And then they left from there. She gave up her ornaments and finery and came dressed in very ordinary clothes to Vipra Narayana. She came as if she was a very, very sincere devotee of the Lord. She said, oh my dear great Brahmana, I am just a fallen soul. I am looking for some devotional service. I want to serve the Lord. Please purify me by engaging me in some service. So Vipra Narayana was most innocent. He was not up to the devious ways of the people of this world. Least did he suspect what was on her mind. And in all sincerity, he began to engage her in devotional service. And then it is described that she started doing a lot of menial service there in the garden. She would work very hard all day long in the sun. And she would perform a very difficult austerities also. And Vipra Narayana would appreciate that service. And she was working like this for months together. And it is said that she would also go to Lord Ranganath and pray. Because with every passing day, she would see that Vipra Narayana was completely unaffected even now. And she would pray to Lord Ranganath that please somehow give me the power that I can bring Vipra Narayana under the control of my charms. So she continued in this way. And Vipra Narayana innocently would continue to engage her in service. He had no bad thought in his mind at all. And one day, it began to rain. And then deliberately she drenched herself in the rain. And in that condition she came to Vipra Narayana, saying, oh, I am drenched like this. Vipra Narayana, feeling very compassionate, again in all innocence, oh, you are drenched, you are doing so much nice service for the sake of the Lord, you have taken so much trouble, come into my house. He did not have much of a house, just one small little room. And it was a dilapidated cottage, and he brought her in there. And slowly in course of time, by her feminine guiles, somehow or the other she succeeded in captivating Vipra Narayana, who then became victimized by her beauty and fell down. And now Devadevi was triumphant that she had achieved victory. She went back to her sister and said, now give me back all my fine clothes and my ornaments. And then having decked herself in that way, she returned. And then poor Vipra Narayana now became completely under her clutches. Then she left that service and went back to her house. And Vipra Narayana followed her back. And he lived with her for some time. And then finally, Devadevi threw him out of the house and said, I have no more time for you because you have no money. So poor Vipra Narayana was now reduced to a very, very pitiable condition. And he completely lost his sense of self-respect or dignity. He was just a simple, innocent village devotee, Brahmana. And he would sit outside the doorsteps of Devadevi, every now and then knocking. And she came to recognize the knocks of Vipra Narayana, so she wouldn't open the door. And one day as he was sitting there, the procession of Lord Ranganath and his queen Lakshmi Devi, Ranganayaki, was going by. As it is the custom that the Utsav Murtis of the Lord are taken out in procession every evening, especially in South India we will find this happening. We do this also sometimes. We did this at the Ram Navami Utsav. We carried the Utsav Murtis everywhere. And then all the devotees come forward to offer so many wonderful offerings and gifts and so on. So as the deities were passing by and all the devotees were accompanying, then suddenly Lakshmi Devi or Ranganayaki saw Vipra Narayan sitting there. And she spoke to her husband, Lord Ranganath, right there in the procession. Of course, nobody could see this conversation taking place. And she said, "My Lord, just look at this. Isn't this Vipra Narayan, your dear servant?" He said, "Yes." "And he's sitting right here in front of this courtesan's house. He seems to be in great difficulty. So, what for are you called Bhakta Vatsal? You are the Lord, the very dear to all the devotees of the Lord. You are very merciful to them. So you should do something about him." So Lord could not refuse the request of his queen, of his wife. So he said, "All right." So when they went back to the temple, then he performed a trick. He he disguised himself as a young boy. He took a golden cup from the deity room, from the altar. And then he went and knocked on the door of Devadevi. Devadevi recognized this knock as a different knock. So she understood it's not Vipra Narayan but someone else. She opened the door. And then this young beautiful boy came and said, "Here is a gift to you from Vipra Narayan." "Oh really?" So she got this pure gold cup. So immediately she called Vipra Narayan and again began associating with him. Because now she saw, oh, he has money again. In the meanwhile, the missing gold cup, it was discovered that the gold cup was missing from the altar. And all there was hue and cry everywhere. "Who has stolen? Who has stolen?" Then the king ordered an investigation. And he sent out his soldiers and messengers everywhere to search. Now by the Lord's arrangement, it so happened that the particular soldier who had been sent out to search for the golden cup was also having some kind of relationship with the maidservant of Devadevi. And this maidservant had seen this golden cup in the house. And in the course of their meeting, the soldier happened to mention the latest gossip going around. That, "Do you know that such and such thing happened and this golden cup was lost from the Lord and somebody has stolen it?" "Oh really? But that golden cup is in the house of my mistress, Devadevi." So immediately the soldier went back and informed the king, and the king came to Devadevi's house. He sent his messengers, and Devadevi said, "I have nothing to do with it. This is a gift given to me by Vipra Narayan." Vipra Narayan didn't know anything about this golden cup. Poor Vipra Narayan was caught by the soldiers and arrested and put in jail. He protested his innocence. He said, "I don't know anything with this golden cup. She just called me back and I returned." So, but the king wasn't in a mood to forgive or to think anything else. And that night, Lord Ranganath appeared to the king in a dream. And he said, "Do not in any way put my dear devotee Vipra Narayan under any difficulty. He is my very dear servant. I shall be very upset with you if you give him any trouble. Release him immediately, for he is very dear to me. I have personally stolen this cup just in order to bring my devotee back to me." So the king was aghast. He rushed, he woke up from his sleep in the middle of the night, he rushed to the jail and personally released Vipra Narayan. And when Vipra Narayan heard the story of how the Lord had appeared in the king's dream and he understood everything about the golden cup, then he became so full of devotion that he collapsed at the feet of the Lord and cried piteously and begged forgiveness. And he began actually condemning himself. We were just mentioning Vishwanath Chakravarti's comment of how this is an important part, that even if a devotee somehow accidentally, and here also this was something accidental, Viparnarayan was innocent. He didn't plan this fall down. And also he began to intensely repent for his actions. And he said, I'm such a fallen soul that I have brought such disrepute upon you. I have given you so much trouble. And in this way, repeatedly he condemned himself. And then he said, I am born in a Brahmana family, but I have no good qualifications of the Brahmanas. I am simply worse than a fallen Shudra. Therefore, I do not deserve to be called Vipranarayan. Vipra means Brahmana. He said, now because of the power of the great devotees of the Lord, that is my only shelter. I have no other shelter except to take shelter of the Vaishnavas who have taken shelter at your lotus feet. The process is called Apashrayashrayaha, to take shelter of those who have taken shelter of the Lord. So then he said, henceforth, my name shall not be Vipranarayan, but my name shall be Bhakta Angri Renu Das. Bhakta means devotee, Angri means feet, lotus feet, Renu means dust. So he said, henceforth, I am not any big Brahmana or anything like that. I am simply the servant of the dust of the lotus feet of all the Vaishnavas. And from that day, his name became Bhakta Angri Renu Das. This is the Sanskrit name. And in Tamil, it is called Tondara Adipodi. Tondara means, you have a Tamil devotee from Sri Rangam, right? So, Tondara means what? Servant? Servant. Adipodi means, Adi means dust, the feet. And Podi means dust. So, Tondara Adipodi in the Tamil language means the same thing. The dust of the lotus feet of the Lord, of the devotees of the Lord. So in this way we see how the Lord was so merciful that he not only excused the offenses that were committed by Viparnarayan because he had unknowingly done it, that he personally purified him and brought him back to this his lotus feet in such an ingenious and wonderful way. So that emphasizes the point here that somehow or other we should continue on in our devotional service. And as Lord Krishna promises Uddhava in the 11th canto, that if we sincerely continue our devotional service in all earnestness, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport here, then we will never be defeated by sense gratification. Rather, we will emerge eventually victorious and go home back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Sorry, we have overstepped the time limit, so we will stop here. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय गौर प्रेमानंदे